Well, good morning. It's good to see you all this morning. I'd say bright and shiny, but it's kind of cloudy and gloomy out, so. I've heard it said that when you hit rock bottom, you have nowhere to go but up. Now, there's a lot of truth to that, and I know it, but I also know this, that when you hit rock bottom, you have the choice of what you're going to do. You see, you also have the possibility of changing the methods of which you're descending and to keep going. Or you could change directions and you could start to go sideways instead of up. After all, that's what mining is. You change directions. Unfortunately, the Israelites didn't go back up when it seemed that they had hit rock bottom. Rather, they found new ways of digging themselves in even deeper. And if you read the book of Judges, that's what it seems is happening. From the beginning until the end, it seems like they're always finding a new way to dig themselves deeper into trouble. New ways of doing evil, new ways of sinning. And it seems by the end of the book that it has gotten as bad as it could get. And many times, in many ways, it seems that we could say the same thing about our culture. That it's gotten as bad as it could get, but unfortunately, we say that today and tomorrow it will get worse. If the book of Judges is about the nation finding new ways to do evil and seeing how bad things are going to get, the book of Ruth is about beautiful, valuable resources that are found in the darkest of days. It's kind of like mining for diamonds or other precious stones, for gold or other precious metals. You see, to find them, you've got to go down deep and in the dark underground with a fair amount of work, the rare beauty is found. You see, only the beauty that is found deep and difficult is valuable. The book of Ruth contains just such beauty, but it isn't the physical beauty, rather it's the beauty of character. The book of Ruth begins with a family leaving the area around Bethlehem because of a famine. Now, to you and me, that may not say a whole lot. But if you were one of the first readers of the account of the book of Ruth, it would say to you that Israel had sinned and Yahweh was bringing the covenant curses that He had promised. It would say to you that this family wasn't trusting God to provide as He had promised that He would, but rather they were trying to remedy the situation on their own. There was a famine in the land, and so Elimelech and Naomi and their two sons left. It also tells us that they probably had negotiated a price. They would have had a parcel of land that was their allotment from the period of Joshua and the giving of the lands, and they would have had theirs, and probably they would have negotiated a price for, well, basically a rental for the next, well, up to 49 years. But it also says that while they did that, it probably wasn't enough. They still came up short on making a living, and so they had two choices. They could sell themselves into indentured servitude for the next 6 years and hopefully in that period make enough to purchase back the remainder of the crops on their land. Or they could take up and move, hoping to find somewhere to live and somewhere to make a living. So Elimelech and Naomi pick up their two boys and they move. And while they're gone, the two boys find Moabite wives. They marry, and then Elimelech dies. And sometime later, both of the boys die, and you're left with Naomi, a widow in a foreign country, and her two daughters-in-law, who are both widows as well. Well, Naomi and Ruth, one of the daughter-in-laws, return to Bethlehem, and this morning I want us to look at the story of Ruth and to see the character that shines like gold amidst the slag. The character that comes out in two of the players in this story that shine brightly against the period of the judges. Because if you read the book of Ruth, you find that it took place in the period of the judges. So as things are going downhill for the nation, as the nation of Israel is getting darker and darker and deeper into sin, the character, the traits of these two stand out. In case you're not familiar with the Old Testament or haven't figured it out yet this morning, we're going to be in the book of Ruth. This short book between the book of Judges and the book of 1 Samuel in our Bible. In my Bible, it takes up part of 4 pages, but only part. It's just a short section. So if you would turn there with me this morning, we will be in the book of Judges. And I thought about commenting on all of the book of Judges this morning and starting my sermon with Ruth chapter 1 verse 1 and finishing at the end of chapter 4, but I figured some of you had plans for Memorial Day tomorrow, so I narrowed it down, and we'll be in chapter 3 of Ruth this morning. Beginning with verse 6, this is what the author tells us about the story of Ruth's life. It says, "She went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law had charged her to do. After Boaz ate, drank, and was in good spirits, he went to lie down at the end of the pile of barley, and she came securely, uncovered his feet, and lay down. At midnight, Boaz was startled, turned over, and lying there at his feet was a woman. And so he asked, 'Who are you?' 'I am Ruth, your servant,' she replied. 'Take me under your wing, for you are a family redeemer.' Then he said, 'May the Lord bless you, my daughter. You have shown more kindness now than before, because you have not pursued younger men, whether rich or poor. Now, don't be afraid, my daughter. I will do for you whatever you say, since all the people in my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Yes, it is true, I am a family member, a family redeemer, but there is a redeemer closer than I am. Stay here tonight, and in the morning, if he wants to redeem you, that's good. Let him redeem you. But if he does not want to redeem you, as the Lord lives, I will. Now, lie down until morning.' So she lay down at his feet until morning, but got up while it was still dark. Then Boaz said, 'Don't let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor.'" Oh, excuse me. "And he told Ruth, 'Bring the shawl you were wearing and hold it out.' When she held it out, he shoveled 6 measures of barley into her shawl, and she went into the town." The character trait that is the most notable in this section of Ruth is righteousness. Righteousness. And we're going to see how it is exemplified in these two, in Boaz and in Ruth. But as it's lived out, as it is portrayed in Boaz and Ruth, we see that it's done in two different ways by two different people. You see, in Boaz, you have the hometown boy. Boaz had lived all of his life in and around the region of Bethlehem. Boaz was well known in the community. In fact, if you read the rest of the book of Ruth, you find that he probably is one of the leaders of town. He's probably one of those people that's looked to bring judgment when there's a disagreement between people in Bethlehem. And so Boaz is this homegrown boy, and as I look at Boaz, I think of, well, for you and me, we would say when things are going well. Things are going well for Boaz. If you look at the story of Ruth and you study what's there, you find that Boaz is doing well. While Elimelech and Naomi had left town 10-plus years before because of the famine, Boaz evidently had stayed. Boaz hadn't just stayed in the region of Bethlehem, but he had done well, and he has these servants that serve him, that are working for him, which is a sign of prosperity. So even when things weren't going well, Boaz does pretty good. And it doesn't just talk about a field for Boaz, but it talks about his fields. And it doesn't just talk about one harvest for Boaz, but it talks about the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. Boaz is doing pretty good. And so as we look at Boaz and we think about him, think about the times in life when things are going well. Because we all have those periods. Periods of time when we're doing well, the job is good, the finances are great, the kids are all doing well, our health is good, and everything seems to be hitting on all of the cylinders and everything is going good. And with Boaz, one of the things that we see is, well, when things are going well for him, his righteousness shows well against the negativity of society. As the rest of the culture is going downhill, Boaz is standing firm in his righteousness. Now, the author of Ruth doesn't come out and say Boaz is a great righteous guy, but he says it in some different ways. You see, if you read the story, and I would encourage you to read the book of Ruth, it'll take you 5 minutes maybe to read all of the story of Ruth. But you find that before the account that we read this morning, that Ruth comes to the fields of Boaz, and she begins to glean behind his harvesters. Now, in the book of Exodus and Deuteronomy, the Israelites were instructed to leave some of the edges of their field so that the poor and the needy, the widows and the foreigners who were residing as aliens in the country, those who had need could come behind them and they could have some food to harvest. It wasn't just a handout, but because they had to work for it, but it was a way of taking care of them and giving them some dignity. But Ruth is a single woman, and she's there as a foreigner and an alien, walking behind Boaz's workers, gleaning on the edges of the field. And Boaz Boaz looks at his servants and says to them, "Do not harm her. Do not touch her. Do not do anything that would disgrace her or in any way injure her." Now, I don't know about you, but when I read those things, I understand that there is a reason behind it. It's kind of like all of the warnings that they put on all of the packaging of everything you buy these days. You understand that they have to put that there because somebody tried it. Somebody went out and did something, well, that was stupid, and therefore the company that manufactures whatever it is has to warn you that that's not the way it's supposed to be done. Well, when Boaz looks at his servants and says, "Don't harm Ruth," you understand that his righteousness and his character is standing out against the darkness of society, because evidently there was a fear for her, a fear that people would injure her, a fear that people would take advantage of her. But Boaz rather protects her. And in a society where people were looking out for themselves and people were looking out for their own needs and taking care of themselves, Boaz goes the extra distance and he takes care of. He doesn't just allow Ruth to come behind his harvesters and to pick the heads of grain that they left standing. But Boaz goes the extra mile and Boaz gives her lunch. And then Boaz, at the end of the day, sends her home with some of the barley. And now as they're threshing the grain at this season, when Ruth comes to him at night, at the end of the night, when she gets ready to return to town, Boaz takes some of the threshed wheat, some of the wheat that he's paid his workers to do all of the hard work for. They've harvested it. They've brought it into the threshing floor. They've done all of the work of separating the grain from the stalks and then separating the chaff from the grain. And Boaz takes some of that and he puts it in her shawl and sends her home. Boaz, in a society where everybody is looking out for themselves and taking advantage of anyone they can, Boaz cares for Ruth and Naomi. He provides for them, and it shows greatly against the dark background of society. But then it also shows, we see the righteousness of his character. It's not just against the negativity of society, but it's just the righteousness of his character itself. You see, we're called to live these same kinds of life as Boaz does, and when things are going good for us, our righteousness, our character should show through. You see, and sometimes we overlook these things because, well, we read it as a story and we're separated by, well, 3,500 years from the story of Ruth. We're separated by a difference in culture. We're separated by language. We're separated by an ocean. We're separated from the story of Ruth. And there's a lot of things that we don't understand. A lot of things that as we read, sometimes we miss that would have been clearly evident to the first readers. And one of them is the righteousness of Boaz when he doesn't take advantage of Ruth. You see, Ruth is there at night and she comes to him and she lays down at his feet. She lays down there, and evidently it was something in the culture of the day that a widowed person, a widowed lady would go to the Redeemer And this would be a proposition, a way of saying, please redeem me. Will you marry me? And one of the things that I've read is that this was also a way that some women who didn't have the best of intents would make propositions on men. She would go out, they would go out at night and get the attention of a man who was asleep for services, if you would. And at this point in time, Boaz could have taken advantage of Ruth. She's totally up to his will and what he's willing to do. Naomi told her, do whatever he tells you to do. And Boaz could have taken advantage of the situation. Could have taken advantage of Ruth, but his character said, she's a person who's valuable. She's a person who is worth something to God. And he doesn't take advantage of her. As the story progresses, he protects Ruth from the possibility of rumors. You see, somebody would have seen her getting up and leaving early in the morning and recognized that it was Ruth. They could have started some good rumors about Ruth and Boaz. So Boaz, to protect her, says, get up before it gets bright enough for anybody to see what's happening, and sends her on her way back to town. He's protecting her reputation in the community. He promises to deal with matters quickly. He doesn't let things sit around, and sometimes when things are going well for us, we're only concerned with our own interests and the things that are good for us. But Boaz takes care of things quickly. He says to her, I will take care of this in the morning. I'll take care of this tomorrow. And Boaz does. He goes into town that very morning and he sits in the gate and he waits for the other man who has the right to redeem the property of Elimelech and Naomi. And he sits there and he waits for them to come in. And he gets his attention and he calls him to sit down. And he goes through the process. You see, here's the thing. Boaz probably could have taken care of the situation without the other redeemer. He probably could have taken care of the situation with Ruth and Naomi simply circumventing the other redeemer. But because of his character, because he cares about doing what is right, because of his righteousness, he does the hard thing. And he does it the right way. He doesn't cut corners. But he brings this other relative in and says, look, Naomi is trying to have her property redeemed by her family so that somebody within her clan and or within Elimelech's clan and within his family with ties to him will have possession of the property. Will you redeem it? And oh, by the way, if you redeem it, you have to marry Ruth to provide a name for her deceased husband. You see, Boaz uses the legal channels that are before him and he does things right instead of cutting corners. You see, when things are going well, sometimes it's difficult to do the righteous things. Sometimes it's difficult to let that character trait grow and show within us when things are going well. But as we read about Boaz in the account of Ruth, we find that he is a righteous man when things go well. The other side of that is, well, the foreign girl. We have the homegrown boy and the foreign girl. And the foreign girl, Ruth, well, she teaches us about living a righteous life and living out the character trait of righteousness when life has us down. When things aren't going well for us. And I just have to ask, what other categories are there when things are going well and when life has us down? So pretty much, if you look at the book of Ruth and study what it's telling you, it's showing us that we can live a righteous life at no matter what the circumstances. And it shows us how that righteous life stands out against the culture when things are going well and when things could be going a lot better. And we begin to see this righteousness of Ruth almost from the very beginning of the story. When Naomi begins to return to Bethlehem, we begin to see the righteousness of Ruth because she is willing to stay with Naomi. In fact, she makes one of those great promises and one of those great statements. And if you've been to very many weddings, you've probably heard it at a wedding or two. I always think it's kind of misappropriated at a wedding because generally it's a husband and a wife saying to one another, wherever you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Your God will be my God, and where you die, I'll die. And it's a promise, a commitment between a husband and wife that they'll stay together. But rather, it should be the bride looking to her mother-in-law, future mother-in-law, and saying to her, I'll go with you wherever you go, and I'll stay with you wherever you stay, and your God will be my God, and your people my people. But that's another story. But Ruth is willing to stay with Naomi. She doesn't know what it's going to cost her. She doesn't know what it will mean, except for this, it means that she'll have to deal with a new country. She'll have to give up her customs. She'll have to give up her language. She'll have to give up her connections and her relationships within Moab. Not because she couldn't have gone back to her father's house and been remarried. Orpah, the other daughter-in-law, chooses that route, but Ruth says, no, I'll go with you and I'll make the changes because you need somebody to support you. You need somebody to be with you. And so Ruth was willing to go to a new country and to take on not just a new culture and a new language and make new relationships, but she was also willing to say, I will take on the God of Israel. I will worship Yahweh and He will be my God. You see, because she knew what was right and she knew what was righteous, she was willing to make these commitments. She didn't know what all it would mean. I'm sure she didn't realize the hard work that it was going to take. I'm sure that she didn't realize the hours that would be spent gleaning on the edges of the fields and the hours that would be spent preparing the wheat, the barley, the hard days and the hard nights. If you've been there when things aren't going well, you understand. You didn't sign up for the late nights and the early mornings. You didn't sign up for the extra work of taking care of the needs, the two jobs, the weird hours, the needs of a spouse or a child who's got sick, the loss of your own health. You see, Ruth didn't know what it was coming before her, but she was willing to stay with Naomi and she was willing to put in the effort. And we see that throughout what the writer tells about her life. that she was committed to Naomi, and she was righteous in doing so. In fact, Boaz says to her, "Everybody in town knows about your character. Everybody in town knows that you are a righteous woman." Could the same be said of you? Could the same be said of me? When people look at our lives, do we live our lives when things are going well or when things are in the dumps? Do people look at us and say, "They're a righteous person"? I like what Boaz says about her character, because he looks at her and he says, "This is a great honor you've given me, Ruth, that you haven't chased after the other guys in town who would have more to give you than I would. You didn't chase after the rich guys just because of their money and their situation. That would look like a beneficial thing to do, Ruth, to chase after them. And some of them might have given you their attention. And Ruth, you didn't chase after the handsome guys and the well-built guys that a lot of times people would look to and say, well, that's the person you should be after. You didn't chase after them whether they were wealthy or poor, Ruth. But rather you looked to me. You looked to do things according to the way that they're supposed to be done." And while we know Boaz was doing all right, we also understand that he probably was a little bit older than Ruth. And here she is. She's doing not what... You know, if we were to give Ruth some advice today, we'd probably say, well, follow your heart. Follow your heart. Go after the guy that looks good, the hunk, or go after the guy with lots of money, or go after, you know, go after the one that makes you happy. But Naomi says to Ruth, go to the Redeemer. Go to the one who has the right to redeem the property. Go to the one who is a family member. And Ruth does that. She follows the right channel. She follows the right path. And she does not what's easy, not what's good, but what's right. You know, sometimes when things aren't going well, we try to find ways to fix the situation on our own. And sometimes, well, they may not be the right way. When I was a kid in Sunday school, we used to sing this song. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. A little light might not do a lot of good in a room flooded with light. If I brought in just a little flashlight this morning and turned it on, it wouldn't do much good in this room with all of the lights that we have on. But if you come in later today and we shut off the lights and you go back in one of these little side rooms where there aren't any windows, that same little flashlight would make a world of difference. In fact, just a little spark in complete darkness seems pretty bright. Just a little light when it's completely dark seems exceptionally bright. There's another song that we used to sing. Sang it more at camp than anywhere else. And it says, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. And soon all those around can warm up to its glowing. That's how it is with God's love once you've experienced it. You spread His love to everyone. You want to pass it on. You see, righteousness of character, is like a little spark. It doesn't matter if things are going well or if things are going poorly. Righteousness is like a fire. Revival starts with just one person. With one person being willing to live differently than the world. One person living differently than the world, and they begin to attract other people. And one by one, they begin to live righteously as well. Boaz and Ruth are two people who live this righteous life. Oh, it shows up in both of their lives differently, but they both live righteous lives. And in a culture where everything is getting worse and worse and darker by the day, their righteousness shines like a bright light in the darkness. And we're called to live those righteous lives. We're called to live righteous lives in a culture. In a culture that is inventing new ways to do evil. In a culture that's getting darker and darker by the hour. We're called to live righteous lives. And when we do, we'll gain other people's attention. And when we get their attention, we're to point them to the Redeemer. You see, the great news about Boaz was he was willing to put everything on the line for Ruth and Naomi. To purchase the land, to take the expenditure and redeem the land from whoever Elimelech had sold it to. He was willing to put his own interests aside and to marry Ruth. He was willing to say, this is what needs done, and to do it. Jesus Christ did the same. He set aside the glories of heaven to come to pay the price for our sin. To redeem us from our sins so that we can have a relationship with Him. And this morning, if you don't have a relationship with Him, we're going to sing one more hymn, one more song, and I'd invite you that if you don't have a relationship with Him this morning, to come and we'll begin a conversation. We'll begin to talk about what that means and what that looks like. For those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, it's a reminder. It's a reminder that we're supposed to live those righteous lives. Whether things are going well or whether life seems to have us down, we're called to live righteously. Let's stand together as we sing this morning.